treasure?
Oh, we might have one around here, actually. It's not on me.
That'll be perfect for now.
All right. Grab your hymnals. Let's stand up. Let's sing. You guys got nothing else to get rolling here.
Zach.
Feel free to take that one if I'm not using it. What's up?
Right. 404. We have to do it.
The fight is on. I'm not going to lie. I don't know that one that well, but I'll try. I know, and I'm kind of slow.
We've done it like five times downstairs.
I know. We'll give it a shot. We'll give it a shot.
We're better.
Do you like my outfit is
on? Give me a chance.
Come on, start with you.
Track out.
You might feel like five times in here. It's ugly.
It's ugly.
All right.
I think that we're doing
politically. Kenzie McClanahan, will you open us up with a word of prayer, please? Thank you.
Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for us and just where you brought us from, Lord. And I just pray that, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts tonight to get what we need to from your word. And just that you prepare our hearts through the hymn singing. And, Lord, just that we would be ready to change our lives, Lord, based on what you show us.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Turn to 404. Like I was just confessing to Bryson, a really good song. Danny brought this one out a couple weeks ago. We've been singing it. I still don't know it that well, but it is a good song to learn. So you guys are going to have to help me out on this one, especially you, Bryson, since you requested it. But the fight is on. 404. The fight is on. All right? It is a good song. Here we go.
The fight is on. The trumpet sound is ringing out. The cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph. The Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong in His might, hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last. The fight is on, arouse these soldiers brave and true. Jehovah leads, and victory will assure. Go buckle on the armor God has given you, and in His strength unto the end endure. The fight is on, O Christian soldier, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong in Him. The bow of promise spans the eastern sky. His glorious name in every land shall honor be. Morn will break, the dawn of peace is nigh. The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming and colors streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and in His might hold fast. If God be for us, His banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last.
All right, way to get through that one. Not as pretty as it probably could be, but you know, it works. Turn it back to 50. We'll sing this a little faster than we normally do. Number 50. Ferris, Lord Jesus. Ferris, Lord Jesus. It is a little warm, a little toasty. It's all right. We'll have an old church style tonight. Here we go. Ferris, Lord Jesus. 50.
Ferris, Lord Jesus. Ruler of all nature. Oh,
little bit. Let's do verse 1 again. Here we go. There is Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son. Thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown.
I think I took it up higher, Tom.
You did.
All right. Verse number two. Yeah, we're still trying to get right there. Verse number two. Here we go. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be.
Lest I forget
thy thorn crown brow. Lead me to Calvary.
Lest I forget
Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony.
Cross for thee. thy cup of grief to
Amen.
Sin. Thou hast borne all for
Thank God he has. Lest I forget.
Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
138. Christ arose. Christ arose here. Coming up on Resurrection Sunday. Here we go. 138.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord.
He's come up.
Up from the grave he arose,
with the mighty triumph for his foe. He arose.
He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose.
He arose.
He arose.
He arose.
Hallelujah. Christ arose. Vainly they watch his head. Jesus, my Savior.
The Comforter has come. Here we go. 161.
Oh, spread the tidings round wherever men is found, wherever human heart and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter. So spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. The long, long night is past. The morning breaks at last and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast as o'er the golden hills the day. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever men. captive soul.
Oh, deliverance. Amen. Thank God it wasn't bars.
And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. The comforter has come. My comforter has come. The comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promised him. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Oh, boundless love abound. How shall this tongue of mine to every mortal tell
the matchless,
thy matchless grace
that I, a child of hell,
I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
That's time for one more. Any suggestions? Mm.
286.
286. Oh, it is well. Let's close out with that one. What a goodie.
Thanks, Dad.
It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. He said, thanks, Dad.
Well, he was fixing my computer. What number was it? I'm sorry.
256. It is well with my soul. Amen.
200.
No, not 200.
I thought you said you were sorry.
I'm sorry. Something, yeah.
No,
200.
Oh, she said low. Yeah. All right, here we go.
English, please. Okay.
When peace like a river. Verse 1. Here we go.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
Satan should buffet.
The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound.
And my Lord
shall be sent.
Yours.
Even so.
Turn to Proverbs 21. Let's start there. This might be quick. It might be long. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord does with it. We can go deep with this, or we can be kind of shallow and get some good inspirational stuff.
Okay.
We'll see what the Lord wants to do here. All right. We'll do stuff in His time and the way He wants to. Proverbs 21. Or Proverbs 12. Yeah, no, 21. 21, sorry. Proverbs 21. So, right now, while we're meeting on Thursday night, and we're singing songs, we're trying to get our hearts right and our spirits right, and we're feel like the Bible says, we're not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. This is a good spiritual time for us. At least I always want it to be. I don't want to come to church and be satisfied in my flesh the same way I am with like playing video games or watching movies or eating something good or going out and doing something that appeals to my senses and stuff like that. All right, I want God to tap in and give me something that only He can give me, and then to develop that more and more and more so that that becomes the number one thing I want to pursue in life. Did you guys know that while we're having these spiritual times with the Lord, or we're praying and preaching and singing and stuff like that, that there's folks doing that exact same thing on the opposite end of the spectrum? All right? And oftentimes, I think I kind of forgot about that growing up. And I'm not just talking about people that are, at home watching their favorite, weeknight shows and stuff like that, or people that are just still at work, or people that just, aren't in church but are, pretty much just finding other things to do to keep themselves busy and creative. No, I mean, there's an element out there in the world where people are worshiping the devil at the same severity that we're trying to worship the Lord Jesus Christ right now tonight. They're asking Him to come in and fill them. They're asking Him to support them, to get behind them, to lift them up, to back them in the stuff that they do. Now, I think initially when I first heard about stuff like that, I was thinking like kind of cartoon characters, Skeletor or something like that, or Lex Luthor or something like that. No, nobody really worships the devil like that. Even the people that call themselves Satanists or whatnot, they always talk about, no, we're not really even like worshiping the devil. We're just about self-enlightenment is what they call it. All right. But no, there really is an element out there. And it's a funny phrase that shows up in the Bible. We're going to read it today. This is why I said, depending on where the Lord wants to go with this, it could take a couple of weeks or it could be done today. We'll just kind of let Him choose and whatnot. We'll get going here and see what He wants to do. But over here in Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse 12. Proverbs 21. Look at verse 12. The Bible says this: the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for a place to come and get together with like-minded people, Lord, where If we put ourselves aside, Lord, you'll come in and give us a blessing with our spirit. I just thank you for that. I just thank you for the fellowship, Lord. But I look for more, Lord. I'm not trying to be, needy or nothing like that, but I am kind of greedy when it comes to you, Lord. And I do want you to step in here and help us out tonight. This is true from your word. I think it's some things that are important for us. I think there are things that we overlook. And Lord, I just pray and ask that we would not, do like some and abandon the whole counsel of God and keep on to the things that are comfortable for us, Lord. But to study the things that you put in here, you put them in here for a reason, Lord. Even about Jesus Christ, you said if everything was written about him that he did, the world itself couldn't contain all those books. So I know that every word of God is pure and you're sealed unto those that put their trust in them, Lord. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to talk about some things tonight that may not have gotten covered that often, but it's still in your word and it's still good for us to know. So just bless it, and I'll just trust that you do with it what you want. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. There's a lot of things the Bible says about the righteous man. It talks about where he gets his righteousness from. It talks about what he does. But this is one more of those attributes, and it's something that you may not have considered before. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. The house of the wicked. What do you guys think that is? The house of the wicked. When you think of... What's that?
A sinful house,
right? So it's not going to be, a place where they're soul winning, passing out tracts or something like that, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. The house of the wicked, right? What does that mean? What comes to your mind? Marcella, what do you think?
Kind of like a house where they're greedy and, they represent things they shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're about stuff that we shouldn't be participating in and stuff like that.
They worship, kings and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, on our old block, we used to live kind of in the hood or the inner city or something like that, all right, the urban area. And on our street, it was interesting. Like, there was a token house on that street that everyone knew to stay away from. And it's kind of funny. I think almost every neighborhood has that. Maybe in the inner city it's the crack house, but in the suburbs it's the haunted house or something like that. I guess ghosts are too scared to be in the ghetto or something like that. So crackheads are there. No, but anyway, there was a drug house at the top of our street. All right, and I remember every time we drove past there, our mom would, Alex, remember this house at the top of the street? All right, every time we'd go past there, our mom, there'd be like a gang of people just always, I don't know what you call it, communing around there or something?
Hanging out.
I lost the word I want to say, but I just always remember seeing those people and just always been scared, like when we drove by in the car, like almost not even wanting to look over there, because no matter what time of night or day, it was always a gang of people outside. You see, clouds, above their heads and stuff like that. And it's just like, man, what goes on over there? I just always knew that was the bad spot. You think about even in Disney movies, they have, these token areas that are dangerous and bad. I always think of the Lion King, the elephant graveyard, right? That's
the
how this house was.
The entire Encanto movie.
Huh?
The entire Encanto movie.
Oh, really? I haven't even seen that. But, so there you go. It's just token no-no spot or something like that, all right? So you stay away from there. So it was the house of the wicked. On my new block I came to, I remember we moved to Raytown, and it started out that, there was a dangerous house for us. We were walking by with some family members one day, and people called us names out of the window of that house. And from that day on, it was just like, oh, that's the bad house. Be careful when you walk past there, or you might get called a certain name when you go by there. So there's always been houses or token places in my life that I've known, man, you got to watch out for this thing. You got to stay away from that or something. You about to say something else?
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
So, at the end of our street, we've called it this since I was, 2, mm-hmm. but we've always called it, the hood. So, there's a cul-de-sac at the end of our street, but, all of those houses are shady. Mm. And then, I remember,
are they in the shade or are they just shady?
4 or 5 times when I was, littler, there would... All of a sudden, you hear, this big bang, and then there was smoke, and then there was people running out of the house.
It's like a backfire from a car or something. Oh, really?
There's, always cops down there and everything.
It's crazy stuff. What's up?
Every time you keep saying wicked house and you bring up examples, for some reason, I keep thinking of, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. No, that's the...
I keep thinking about that. And then, the trailer park I grew up in, there was these 3 trailers in the back left corner.
There you go. This is always a spot.
That whole corner, everybody knew. Don't go there, because it was some gang name, but they mm-hmm. affiliated that those three trailers as their territory, and you weren't allowed to walk on that street or you got shot.
Okay.
Or like, there's always like when you go up in like Kansas and stuff.
In Kansas.
Like as you get up farther in like Kansas City and stuff, oh, in the middle okay. of Kansas City. There's always like these apartments that my dad's like, and you never go there alone.
There you go.
There alone or there alone.
So you all have examples in your life of places that are shady, creepy, haunted, you know, dangerous or something like that. So that is what I want you to think in your mind when you think of this house of the wicked. Like, we all have that. And I think God gives us those pictures for a reason. The Bible says the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. So that's huge right now. Our job is to consider the house of the wicked. It's not to ignore it. You know, that's something that, you know, we got to be careful about. Oftentimes, you know, we'll see something that looks dangerous, looks creepy, and we'll say, well, just ignore it. Get away from it. The Bible didn't say that. It says, why is he considerate? It's also not our job to comply with it. If you're ignorant of something, you might be complying with it. You don't know what it is, and you might be going along with that thing, all right? So you got to watch out for that. You don't want to support it, and you don't want to make light of it, but you want to consider it. The Bible says the righteous man is wise for considering it. So what's wisdom? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. You know what that means? That means once you get into the Word of God, once God gives you doctrine, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, number one, to teach you what's right. Once you get that, you got to take it and put it to use. So when you learn what's right, you know what's naturally going to happen? You're going to sanctify, or you're going to separate out things that are also wrong. So a righteous man wisely applying knowledge considers the house of the wicked, but also this, he considers it in a wise way. So he doesn't try to participate in it. There is a verse over here in Romans chapter 16:19 that all Christians and everyone ought to be careful with. The Bible says this when it comes to looking into evil things. It says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. So most of the time we're together, we're getting together and we're learning about good Bible principles. We're singing songs that are uplifting. We're trying to follow the exhortation over there in Philippians 4:8, where he talks about whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things have virtue, any praise, think on these things. All right? So when it comes to even touching on these things, we have to talk about them. But the Bible says at the end of that verse in Romans 16:19, he wants us to be simple concerning that which is evil. So don't ignore it. Don't be ignorant about it. But also, you don't dive off the deep end on it and go search into it and dwell on that stuff like that. The righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked. So the first thing that comes to my mind is, when I'm considering the house of the wicked, do they know that they're in the wicked house? Do they know that they're wicked? You know, you ever think about that? You ever been in a situation before where you thought you were on the right side, you thought you were doing the right thing, and come to find out you're the bully, you're the jerk in the situation or something like that? Yeah, I've been there all the time, especially when it comes to me trying to entertain people and say funny things, and all of a sudden the person doesn't take it as a joke, and they completely get crushed by it. And now, instead of me being, you know, the nice guy that's trying to make the lighten up the mood, I became the jerk in that situation. Dang, I kind of just put my foot, or at least I'm knocking on the door of that house. All right, there's a little skit. It was on like British comedy or something like that. It's one of their stand-up shows or something like that. And they did this little skit, and they had like these two Nazi soldiers. And they're out there just kind of shooting the breeze on the front line, just hanging out. And they're kind of talking about, you know, how evil the Allied forces are and how they're coming into their home territory and fighting against them. And they're going, and while they're talking about all the righteous stuff that they're doing. They're like, yeah, and we even, you know, rounded up this group of people. We put them in special places to make sure that, you know what, we can focus on the war and get away from them. And they're like, yeah, and how's it going with those people? I don't know. Most people that go there don't really return. And he's like, yeah, and what's the deal with all these huge furnaces and these people going into them? And so at the end of the skit, they're like, hey, are we the baddies? Like, these two Nazis, it's supposed to be a joke. These two Nazi guys were up here thinking, oh, you know, we're supporting the country. We've got patriotism. We're fighting. But at the end of the day, they're like, after looking at everything that their country was doing, oh, wait, are we the baddies? Are we the ones that are wrong? Are we in the wrong for that? You know, that's oftentimes what I got to ask myself. Do they know that they're in the house of the wicked? If they do know that they're in the house of the wicked, if they know that they're on the wrong side, you guys ever wonder about that? You have people that you work with, go to school with, they know that they're not living the best life that they can be. And they're not like atheists where they don't think any of that like Bible stuff is true. They believe in heaven and hell, and they actually think that they're going to hell. You ever wonder, like, why are they content with that? You guys have friends like that? You've asked them, hey, do you go to church? Like, no, I know I need to. but they just don't keep going? Do they know that they're in the house of the wicked? Second question, if I'm considering this, I would ask, why are they okay with that? Why are they okay with being in the house of the wicked? Without going around and doing a huge survey and asking them these things, I was able to come to that conclusion very quick. They're okay with being in the house of the wicked, the same reason I'm okay with being in sin.
Amen.
Right? There's a certain treasure that comes along with it. Come over here to Micah chapter 6, verse 10. Micah chapter 6, verse 10. They might be okay with being in the house of the wicked because it pays well. There's a good payday with it. Man, it's taking me a minute to get to Micah. Sorry, guys. Yeah, so right after Jonah, Micah chapter 6, verse 10 says this. Just write it down if you can't get there. Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. So that's what's in the house of the wicked. There's a good payday there. You guys ever wonder about that? Maybe the wicked know that they're in the house of the wicked, but they're like, hey, if God can't take care of me as well as the devil can, why go to God? Maybe God's not who they think he is. You guys ever think about that? Folks that, you know, run casinos, or folks that run, you know, joints that, you know, we should never walk into and stuff like that. You know, folks that run stuff like that, that put out magazines that are bad, that have websites and stuff that are bad, they're making tons of money. Maybe they think, hey, there's treasure in the house of the wicked. Second thing, maybe there's pleasure in the house of the wicked. There's pleasure there. Over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4.
Could you also kind of say, like...
What's that?
I guess, like, they know that they're going to hell and stuff, but it's, like, in their minds, like, and I guess in, like, a lazy aspect, mm-hmm. but not partially lazy. They're like, well, if I go to God, then I have to do this. And mm-hmm. they think that there's, like, oh, I have to do this and do that, but if I just... stay in the house with it. I don't have to do
miss out on all the fun, right? What's up, Marcel?
So, like, have you ever been in, like, an awkward situation where someone, never. One of your friends, like, walks in on the middle of the conversation and then they think that they just hear their name and then they think that you're talking about them behind their back, like, something bad about them, and then they don't talk to you?
I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. I have. Look at,
like, that kind of sort of goes with it because the devil's kind of telling them, like, they're talking about you badly. Like, don't talk to me.
No, and that's a cool thing you brought up. The devil will use any type of opportunity he can to cause division, especially things that are misconstrued or looked at the wrong way like that. So that's a good point. Over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's pleasure in the house of the wicked. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, back over there, when it comes to pleasures and being in the house of the wicked, the Bible says this, how that Moses avoided that. It says, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, there is pleasure in the house of the wicked. Moses was in that house at one time. He was in Pharaoh's house. There was all kinds of worldly pleasures in there for him. He was treated like a prince. He wasn't out there with his kinfolk being a slave. And so he was in with the pleasures, but he was also in the house of the wicked. So maybe that's why they don't mind being in the house of the wicked.
It, like, connects.
It does.
Moses, and then you were talking about, like, the skit, like, not, like, it connects. Like, Moses found out, I was like, where? We're kind of bad for this. Like, we got, like, people working on
it. Are we the baddies? Yeah, Moses figured it out, didn't he? All right, how about this? There's treasure in the house of the wicked. There's pleasure there, but there's also pride. There's pride in, like, having a family name. I've talked to a kid in youth group before. They're not here anymore. But they told me, you know what, one of the reasons that they were struggling is because, like, they were trying to go a new path that their family had never gone before. And their family was known for this, and they've always been known for that. And everybody's done that, you know, for generation after generation. And now here we are trying to go against that. And so... they said it's pretty much just easier for me to go along this way. This is what I know. This is what I'm comfortable in. And that's why I always fall back to it. You know, at the end of the day, you know what that is? That's pride. That's pride in that name, that family name. Pride in the house of the wicked. So it's not just treasure. It's not just pleasure, but there's pride. But at the end of the day, the problem is that there's also delusion. They're deluded by all these things. They're deceived by them. Because even though there's treasure in the house of the wicked, the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, the Bible says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. You see that? Right now there's treasure, absolutely. It looks like they're doing awesome. It looks like they're doing well. The Bible says, even though there's treasure there, it doesn't profit you in the end. You say, well, what about pleasure? We got treasure. What about pleasure? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:17, over here in Proverbs 21:17, it says, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. See, they're deluded. They're not getting the full picture right now. You say, well, what about the pride? What about the pride and the family name and, you know, having that name with you? Why would you give that up when, you know, most people would kill for a great name? And I've got this name. Why would I give it up? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. Pride before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You say, well, Zach, why does God even allow the house of the wicked to exist? If he knows it's bad, if over in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 12, the Bible says God will overthrow it, overthrow the wicked for their wickedness, why would he allow it to exist? So that you could consider it. So that you could look into it. Over here in Proverbs 16:4, the Bible says, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Even the wicked for the day of evil. Turn back here to Job. There's the way that the house of the wicked appears. Turn to Job 21. And right now it might look good. Right now they might have a huge following. And what we're going to do, we're going to identify what this thing looks like so that hopefully we can avoid this. Job 21. Pick it up in verse 7. Job says this, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? What's up with that? If God's righteous, if he's just, why is it that he lets evil men, wicked people, become so prosperous on this earth down here? Can't he see what's going on? Wherefore, why do the wicked live, become old, and are mighty in power? Watch what he says about the wicked. Their seed is established in their sight with them. So their kids aren't dying. They're just having more and more kids. They're not having miscarriages and stuff like that. Their kids are prosperous. They're growing up healthy. They're not having misbirths and stuff like that. Their seed is established in their sight, their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear. The worst people in the world can provide the best security for themselves. They've got the money to buy bodyguards while they're living like hell. They've got the money to set up the huge fences and the huge walls to push wickedness, but then separate themselves from the environment that they've created. Their seed is established in their sight before them. Their houses are safe from fear. Neither is the rod of God upon them. Yeah, man, what's the deal with that? We talk about America becoming so evil, but couldn't God have stopped that, you know, if he wanted to? Keep going. Their bull gendereth, their and faileth not. Their cow calveth, and casteth not her calf. So back in the day, you know, most of us aren't farmers now, but that was wealth back then. You know, they had food. They had things to provide work for them. 11, they send forth their little ones like a flock. Tons of kids. Their children dance. They're not sad. They're not poor. Verse 13, they spend their days in wealth. Not poverty. Not wondering where the next meal is going to come from. Not how are we going to pay this bill. Not, man, I hope that mom and dad can afford, you know, a new pair of shoes for me next week or something like that. Or I hope I'll be able to buy a new outfit for the dance. No, they spend their days in wealth. And they're wicked. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. It's almost like they never know any fear. They never know any pain. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? You see that? That's what the Bible says is what it looks like the house of the wicked is. That's how it appears. That's how it appears. All right? And we see that when you look at the Kardashians, right? Some of the vilest people on the planet, all right? Goofiness, right? But they're popular, they're wealthy, healthy, and wise, right? All right, they got all the stuff that everyone wants. That's why they have such a high following, a high influence. All the craziness that's out there and the people that go along with it, it seems like they're completely supported and that there's no trouble coming their way. So that's how it appears. All right, come over here to Job 18. While we're turning there, what's up, Marcella? What's up, bud?
Or, like, whenever, like, I'm like, oh, well, this person has so much, like, in Hollywood and stuff, like, all the famous stars and stuff. And she's like, yeah, but guess the price they're going to have to pay when they die is what they've done.
There you go.
To get there.
So you know about that. So Job, he talks about what it looks like. Now watch this. This is how it is to God. Job just talked about how it appears. Job chapter 18, look at verse 5. Watch this. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out. So right where Marcel was talking about. It might be bright right now, but one day darkness is coming. And the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle. His candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. So the people that he found, you know, safety in and stuff like that, the Bible says are eventually going to cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The gin shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. So he can't stay still, and when he gets up, he's got to run. He can't be content. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin. Even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His root shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. You know, right now, that's what we name all of our streets after. It's those guys, right? The ones that can afford it, the ones that have the huge influence in the world. You say, well, Zach, just because somebody has a big name in the world doesn't mean they're wicked, does it? I don't know. What does the Bible say? Whosoever's a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know what a celebrity is? That's someone the world celebrates. You got to wonder about that thing. And he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. What are you going to say, Bryson?
It's funny how it says, and he shall have no name in the street. Right as you said that, I started thinking, I want to say that, was it like Hollywood or something? Like they have the walk, and then they have like...
Wow, there you go.
Like the famous people's names.
Hollywood Boulevard, and what they do, they put it right out there on that street for everybody to see, the walk of fame, right? What's up?
So, like, when you were saying that, like, when everyone, like, idols someone, does it actually necessarily mean that they're a bad person?
Mm-hmm. No, you said, does it mean that they're a bad person just because someone idolizes them?
Yeah.
No, of course not. I idolize, you know, this man in this church I idolize. And when I say, I got to use that softly, like not idolize, like I worship them, but I try to emulate them. I try to copy them and I respect them like highly and hugely and stuff like that. There's people outside of this church. There's even people in the unsaved world that I do. But what it comes down to is just the general rule, the general principle. The world loves its own. And the Bible says, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God, type of deal. So.
And then, did you hear about the person who just got arrested because they went to Hollywood and, like, they managed to get to the big Hollywood sign and they were, like, carving names into it of famous people?
No, I didn't hear about that. Mm-mm. What are you going to say?
I think it's, like, I think another thing, I was like, there's one thing to idolize somebody, and there's another thing to have, like an opinion, like, oh, I like that actor, oh, I like that famous person. I think there's, there's a big difference between, like, oh, I think they're cool, and then there's another thing to idolize them, like you were saying.
There you go. The Bible says in verse 18 of chapter 18 of Job, he shall be driven from light into darkness. So right now, he's on the red carpet. Right now, he's in the spotlight. Right now, he's on stage. Right now, he's a movie star, lights, camera, action, stuff like that. Right now, we look upon him highly. He's got the most views, the most subscribers, and stuff like that. Right now, right? But the Bible says, he shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. Out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. Wow. God's going after his kinfolk. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. So you know what that's saying about this guy? Now, doctrinally, you guys know who this is talking about? It's talking about the Antichrist when he shows up. All right? So, verse 20, it says, they that come after him shall be astonished. That just means made like stone, astonished, petrified, all right, at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. What does that mean? Who are the people that went before the Antichrist? That's you and I. You know how much money Hollywood has made off of movies about the Antichrist showing up? Are they happy movies or are they horror movies? They that went before were affrighted of his day. So, right now, in our day and age, we look forward to this guy showing up, and it's a fearful thing. We're scared of him. Especially if you're a Bible believer, you understand what he's going to do, how he's going to be the devil incarnated in a human body, all right? We understand what his job is and how horrible he is. We make all these movies, Rosemary's Baby, Damien. Was it Damien? Was that the name of one of these Antichrist movies or something like that? All right, all these satanic, you know, goofy horror movies and stuff like that. But watch this. Even though he's the scariest figure in movies right now, the devil, the Antichrist, the demon, and everything like that, the Bible says once the millennium happens, verse 20, they that come after him shall be astonished at his day. They're going to be shocked. You know why? Because they're going to be wondering, how could a guy that was so big, so huge, that was in so many conspiracies, that was a part of the mystery of iniquity, that went all the way back to Baal worship and worked its way all the way up to the second coming of Jesus Christ, how could a guy that in-depth, that powerful, that entwined, now have absolutely no remembrance on the earth whatsoever that Jesus Christ is on the throne? It's like if Donald Trump all of a sudden got wiped out of history. Or like Bill Gates got wiped out of history. Or like Steve Jobs. These guys that have had major impacts on our society, on everything that we do, all of a sudden get wiped out, and everything with them gets wiped out so that they have no remembrance under the sun whatsoever. That's how this guy's going to end up.
Because I feel like the Antichrist is like the last person you expect until like action, or not action, but like stuff starts happening. And you're like, something going on here.
Oh, when the Antichrist shows up? Yeah. Marcella.
Or like whenever, when you were like saying that people are always like trying to, you know, like, oh, well, this YouTuber has more subscribers than anything. Like, if you've ever noticed, like, when you're watching YouTube and someone's like almost at a million subscribers, they want you to hit subscribe so much.
Even the most popular people on those social media outlets, man, don't they have kind of a short-lived life? I don't know if you guys remember that. What was that?
There's gonna make one bad decision.
Yeah, well, one bad decision. What was that, like Miranda Sings or something? Like, was that somebody's name? What was her name?
Macy Alexa.
No.
But I'm saying, like, these, anybody that, like, comes to, like, instant stardom like that, it's like a 15 minutes of fame type of deal. Mm-hmm. It's so short-lived.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing, like, God is trying to speak out and reach out to us and tell us, you know what? Hey, listen up! You've got a soul inside of you that doesn't die.
Amen.
You're going to be connected. You are that thing.
Yeah.
Right now, you're connected to something that's temporary. Don't put all your eggs in this basket. It's temporary. It's 15 minutes on YouTube where you go viral with one video. There's this chick we used to like back in my day when I was in high school named Sweet Brown. And somehow, she probably left some cigarettes, you know, on fire when she went to bed. And she woke up in the middle of the night and she says, I woke up, I smelled some fire, Lord Jesus. And how did that whole thing go? She was like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I smelled something. I thought somebody was cooking. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. And then she was like, ain't nobody got time for that. Oh, then she said, I came out and I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. And so it was like this stupid thing, but this huge internet sensation. Everybody was about it, but it lasted really short. How about that stupid song, What Does the Fox Say? Huge internet sensation for a minute, but now where is it? How about the trollolo guy? Remember that guy? In and out, you know?
He's still running around.
Yeah.
Shark has kind of like disappeared now.
Baby Shark. What you guys should do every time you see something come and go like that, you should remember, God's trying to remind you, it's so vain to put any, you know, emphasis on anything in the world down here. The word of God and the souls of men is what you better be putting yourself towards.
Or like the 80s disappeared and now they're coming back.
There you go. It cycles. It cycles like that. And that's just how man is. You know, he loves you one day, he hates you the next day. There's no consistency in man. He's very finicky. He goes in and out of what he likes and what he hates and stuff like that. I'm like that. What? Maybe for a whole month, I can say I'll eat Thai food every day, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I need barbecue now or something like that. All right, that's the flesh, though. You see, when you're satisfying your flesh, what does the Bible say about the flesh?
Never satisfied.
Never satisfied. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is never, never, never satisfied. The Bible says the belly of the wicked shall want. This flesh is wicked. The Bible says in my flesh is no good thing, Romans 7:18. So this is the belly of the wicked. When we try to please this thing and satisfy this thing, the Bible says the belly of the wicked shall always want. It will never be content. But then the Bible says this. But the was the belly of the righteous shall be, darn it. Proverbs 13:20. Belly of the wicked shall want. But somebody throw it out there if y'all know it.
13:20?
Is
sure?
It 13:20?
He that walketh in
the
No, that's not it. Sorry.
I was gonna say 13:20, yeah. That's discipleship. I was like, I know that one.
Somebody gets it, call it out there.
He that walketh with wise men shall be wise.
So that's the wrong one. That's not the one I want.
Yeah, I was gonna say 25.
There you go. Thank you, Erica. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul. So you know what I'm really trying to do here? I'm trying to get you guys on a new diet. That's what we're doing. When you're in discipleship, when you're coming to hear me get up here and talk to you on Thursday nights, when you're in church on Sunday mornings, guys, in a small way, it's about getting you on a new diet. It's about getting you on a diet that's going to actually benefit you beyond this life. It's about getting you on a diet that will sustain you no matter what happens in this life. Because when your favorite influencers, you know, end up doing stupid stuff to where now your parents won't let you watch them, or you just get put off with them or something like that, I'm trying to get you on an influencer who will never do you wrong, that will always Amen. Be strong, that will always be there Amen. For you, and that will benefit you from now, henceforth, forevermore.
Amen.
All right? So that's what this is, it's all about. And that's what the world's fighting for. They're fighting for influence over you. They want your heart. You know what God, you know what Solomon had to say to his son? He said, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what the world's trying to come after for with you guys? They're trying to come after your heart. That's why I love that spot. Let's finish here. We're not going to be able to get into what we wanted to tonight, but come over here to Ecclesiastes 3. This is why you can't follow your eyes in this world. God even set it up
Amen.
So that if you try to follow things in this world, you're going to get deceived by it.
Don't do it.
Ecclesiastes 3. We talked about this a while ago. Watch this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He! So not the Antichrist, not Zach, not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, nobody. You know who that he is? That's God. It's almost like God set you up in a trap and like a little hamster wheel to keep you going around and around and around and around and around if you follow your eyes. Watch what he says. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. So it's intentional. God set this world up to allure you so you can be attracted to it so that you can desire it if you're operating in the flesh. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. Guys, it's natural for you to want to have those things, to be more focused on your phone than God at church, to want to know what's happening on social media instead of what's happening in your Bible, to be more focused on all that stupid stuff, on gossip instead of praying for people and stuff
Amen.
Like that.
Amen.
That's the wickedness in your heart set up by the Lord if you follow your flesh. He has set the world in their heart. Why? So that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. So God's trying to hide himself? No. He is trying to hide himself if you're the natural man. That's why Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He can't itemize them. He can't look at the profit that he can get from it. There's nothing beautiful about this book that's black and white. But if you start to operate with the eye of faith, all of a sudden, God brings you out into a second realm out here where you're operating in a different dimension. And so that's what that's all about. Next time we get together, we're going to look at this house of the wicked. We're going to look at some people in the world. And we're going to look at how this thing has developed itself throughout history and where this thing is going. All right? The house of the wicked. All right. Well, let's close out with a word of prayer. My youth workers, please hang behind. Somebody give Drake a text to come up here. I think he's out on the Bible floor. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you got to get our kids. Cool. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the book. And thank you just for the interaction with the kids. I'm glad that they had questions. We were able to discuss this, and that's what I want, Lord. I want them to develop an appetite, an excitement, Lord, a fire, Amen. A zeal for your word, Lord, for the things of God. Help us, Lord, the closer and closer we get, like you said over there in Proverbs, as the day comes, as the day dawns, and the day star begins to shine in our hearts, Lord, help us to shed the filthy things of this world, Lord. But do like you said, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what it ought to be, Lord. Help us to go from our snake form, Lord, to something new for you.
Amen.
Lord, to shed all this stuff in the world that's not going to be beneficial to us on our wedding day with you. So anyway, Lord, I just pray that you would just take what was said tonight. Help us just to build on that in the upcoming weeks. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Sayonara. I'll see you guys soon. Bryce home.
When do you find out?
What's up?
Asking questions.
No, that's good, dude. I'm glad you're asking them.
That's what it's all about. We're going to get into the book, man.
A, for myself, and B, and so other people will feel brave enough to ask questions.
Nah, dude. That's good stuff.
And I love how whenever you start to, like, tell, like,